Interrogation rooms hold some of the most horrifying, saddening, and life-changing moments in history. So here are some of the craziest interrogation moments of all time. Starting out with Thomas Robinson, a 27-year-old facing life in prison after shooting a 17-year-old boy. But Thomas wasn't going down easily. In fact, he was determined to make the cops' lives as difficult as he could in the most dangerous ways imaginable. As the policeman moves to handcuff him, Thomas leans over and glances at the holster on the cop's waist, where he gets an idea that could end in death for him and the officer.
Yeah, I'm good. You couldn't get it.
Thomas made a leap for the cop's gun, but due to safety features built into the holster, he wasn't able to get it out. After a short struggle, two more cops entered the room with tasers to subdue him, and he was eventually restrained without further issue. This obviously just looks like a case where the suspect wanted to escape and was prepared to do so by any means necessary. But take another listen to what he's saying as he's fighting with the cops. If he was really trying to escape, it's unlikely he'd be repeating the words "kill me" from the get-go. Instead, it's possible that Thomas was so terrified of his sentence and the position he was in that he made the radical move to scare the officers in hopes that they'd shoot him and spare him from what's to come. Bringing a firearm into an interrogation room is an incredibly foolish idea, and the majority of police departments forbid it for the safety of the detectives. But it seems this Las Vegas Police Department also forgot about that rule, and come incredibly close to seeing the consequences. This man convicted of killing a 2-year-old boy actually managed to retrieve the gun from the detective's holster, resulting in a mad scramble to get it back off him. It took 3 separate officers and multiple punches to the head to reclaim the firearm. Somehow, nobody was hurt, but Ryan Waller wasn't so lucky, as his story ends in a truly horrifying way after he was brought in for interrogation with a bullet still stuck in his head.
You're telling me they shot you with a revolver in your eye?
Yes.
Is it a BB gun?
No, it was a real gun, man. It was just a revolver.
If they shot you in the eye, you wouldn't be talking to me right now. It was most likely you'd be dead.
But little did police officers know, he was actually telling the truth. As while 18-year-old Ryan was being mocked by detectives, he was suffering from a gunshot to the head and experiencing a brain bleed that could end his life at any moment.
I just want to go back to sleep and try to go back to bed.
You're not going back to bed.
On the 23rd of December 2006, 2 men broke into Ryan Waller's house looking for revenge for a past argument. Ryan heard the noise at the door, but when he went to investigate, a hand reached inside and shot him twice in the eye. The 2 men, Richie and Larry Carver, then entered his house and shot Ryan's girlfriend, Heather, killing her instantly. By some miracle, 18-year-old Ryan survived and was able to talk to police when they arrived hours later. Given he'd just been shot in the head, he told them he had no idea what happened, but instead of being taken straight to the hospital, he was taken to the police station and interrogated for the longest hour of his life. Before the interview started, Ryan was left in the room alone. He squirmed in pain for 20 minutes straight, and worse yet, he was handcuffed to the desk and unable to scream for help.
Man.
Ryan is obviously not okay, but the detectives begin the interrogation anyway.
You know why you're down here, Ryan? You have no idea why you're down here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know what happened, okay? So I'm going to read you something to make sure you understand your rights, okay? Okay, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can't be used against you in a court of law. What's the highest grade you went through school?
I don't know. I just want to go home.
Oh, you're not going to go home right now. What's the highest grade that you completed?
B?
No. Not grade. as in letter grade. I'm asking, did you graduate high school?
No.
Do you know how to read and write, Ryan?
Yeah.
The way the detective is talking to Ryan implies that he knows something is wrong. He's raising his voice slightly, slowing down, and talking in very simplified language, just as you would a child. Yet, even with the massive red mark around Ryan's face and the dazed responses he's giving, the detective still decides that nothing is wrong and continues questioning him.
Do you have a girlfriend? No? You know a girl named Heather?
The one that lives there right now?
I guess, I don't know. Her name's Heather. What's her last name?
I don't know which name she's trying to use as her last one. She's trying to have a real last as her nickname, so I don't know.
What nickname does she go by?
She probably wants the last name, Kaiman.
Kaiman? How old is Heather?
16 or 17.
What happened to your face?
I don't know.
You told the officer just a few minutes ago that someone hit you. Do you remember who hit you?
I think it was Heather.
Why would Heather hit you?
It was an accident. I forgot why.
What was an accident?
Heather's last name?
No. What was an accident?
Heather hitting me.
What happened for her to hit you in the eye like that?
She just hit me on accident. She was giving Christina a head.
She was what?
She was helping Christina with her hair or something. I don't know.
Who's Christina?
She's on the couch.
Christina's on the couch?
Ryan and Heather lived with another person whose name isn't public. There's a possibility that it's the Christina he's referring to here, but either way, nobody else was home at any point of the night of the attack. Ryan is clearly suffering traumatic brain injury, and it's astonishing that the detective isn't connecting the dots. Even if it was just blunt force like Ryan is telling him, he still should be checked out by a doctor given how he's acting. But of course, that's not how it happens. Instead, it somehow gets even more messed up.
What happened last night?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I really don't. I just want to go to sleep.
Who was in the house when you went to sleep?
Christina and Heather.
Christina and Heather? And Christina was on the couch?
Heather was.
Heather was on the couch. You told me Christina was on the couch just a minute ago.
I don't know, man. I really don't. I just want to go and go to sleep, man.
Well, Ryan, you're not going to go anywhere. Do you know what happened in your house last night?
What happened?
I don't know what happened. You're all beat up. So tell me what happened.
I don't know. I just want to go to sleep, man.
There's a dead girl in your living room.
She's dead?
Yes.
Heather? The girl on the couch is dead?
I don't know. If she's on the couch, she's dead.
Well, these people came over, Richie and his dad, with shooting arrow bow and darts. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
They hit me and her with those. That's it. And Heather wasn't there. And Eric wasn't there. It was just me and Heather.
And then what happened?
And that's it. Richie and his dad tried to break in through the back.
Richie and dad? His dad?
Mm-hmm.
Who's Richie?
I don't know.
Well, you obviously know him. You know his name by
Richie. He used to live there.
Was he a roommate of yours?
He used to be.
They hit you?
Yeah.
Now it's Richie that hit you, not Heather?
No, Richie and his dad.
Why?
Because they were trying to get their stuff. I don't know why.
And they had some kind of bow and arrows?
They each had two revolvers and they didn't let off any shells.
Okay, you just said they had bow and arrows. Now they have revolvers?
That's what I meant. They had revolvers.
They have revolvers?
Yes.
And then what happened?
And then they shot us with those.
They shot both of you?
Yeah.
Where'd they shoot you at?
I got shot in the eye.
Shot in the eye?
I think so.
With a revolver?
I think. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Then what happened?
I don't know.
You don't know a lot, Ryan.
I don't, man. I really don't.
I'd like to see this detective try and articulate himself anywhere near as Ryan is in this situation. He's managed to recount the exact sequence of events as well as the perpetrator's names with the revolver bullet still in his brain. It does sound like an unbelievable story, and that's probably why the cop is essentially laughing at him by now. But that still doesn't excuse any part of what's going on. He's obviously distressed, in pain, and needs to go to the hospital. But he's still more than half an hour away from any form of salvation.
Ryan, why don't you tell me what really happened there? Because I don't believe...
I really don't know, man. I really don't. I don't know. I could tell you anything, I swear.
Well, I want you to tell me the truth. That's all I want.
Richie and his dad came there. And I don't know why. I don't know why, but they put me in sleeping hold. And, like, they put me in sleeping hold with the arrows and shit. Like, I lived through that crap.
You're all over the board here, number one. You're saying bows and arrows. You're saying revolvers. And you're saying some other thing. And you're saying they shot you in the eye. Okay? They shot you with a revolver in your eye.
Yes. And that's it?
Is it a BB gun?
No, it was a real gun, man. It was just a revolver.
They shot you in the eye with a revolver, you wouldn't be talking to me right now. It was most likely you'd be dead.
That's what I thought too, man. I really don't know. I really don't know, and I just want to go back to sleep and try to go back to bed.
You're not going back to bed, okay? That's not going to happen. What happened to Heather?
Heather got shot.
Where did she get shot?
Inside the face once.
She got shot inside of the face?
Mm-hmm.
How close were you to her when she got shot in the face?
It was after I got shot, so I didn't even hear anything.
So you got shot first?
Uh-huh.
And what happened? Did you call 911?
Uh-uh.
Did you see if she was alive?
She was sleeping still, and that's it. I just let her sleep.
She got shot in the side of the face and you let her sleep?
Yes.
This does not make sense, Ryan.
I know, I didn't mean to, man. I'm sorry. I didn't know she was passing out. That's because I got shot wrong once too and I was gonna pass out.
Okay, this is now, not before. You're saying right now you've been shot?
Yes.
In the eye?
Yes.
With a revolver?
Yes.
All right. Ryan, you need to start telling me the truth, because your story doesn't make sense.
I'm trying, man. I don't know.
What happened with you and Heather last night?
Her dad came and shot the house.
And shot her?
Mm-hmm.
Her dad shot her?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then leaves?
Mm-hmm.
And what did you do?
I tried to go back to sleep.
After you've been shot?
Mm-hmm.
In the eye?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know enough to call 911.
Mm-mm.
Ryan, look at me. Ryan.
Yes. I don't know, man. I really don't know.
Why did you shoot Heather, Ryan?
I didn't shoot Heather. She was already shot once by her brother, I swear.
Richie.
Yes.
Richie shot his own sister.
Yes, I swear. That's it.
Sit down.
Not me.
And you've been shot in the eye.
Yes.
Put your legs down. Put your legs down. Bring your face closer.
Oh, my head hurts.
Okay. Yeah, be right back.
Finally, the detective at least considers the fact that Ryan might be in some form of physical distress. He leaves the room to ask for an ambulance and returns momentarily to try and get a few more details about the shooting. Ryan clarifies that Heather isn't related to Richie or his dad, and that he's got no idea why they attacked him that evening. 10 minutes later, the fire department arrives to take a look at Ryan's injury.
He's acting like he has a serious head injury, which would make sense.
But you guys confirm
Ryan.
Yeah, we'll take him.
I don't know why.
Yeah, we can tell. Yeah, Dad, has it been like that before or just happened tonight?
Like this for like a day or so.
So it happened, what, the other night?
I don't know.
You don't know what happened. Were there guns around?
This kid Eric did it. I don't know how he did it exactly. I might have been shot. I don't know.
Ryan gets his blood pressure taken, and finally, after 56 minutes of unnecessary and ultimately deadly interrogation, he's taken to the hospital. Upon inspection at the hospital, doctors immediately realized his status was critical and that he also had indeed been shot in the eye. They also told his father that he'd contracted an infection that could have been prevented had he received proper care. Ryan stayed at the hospital for 35 days and lost part of his brain and his left eye. Worst of all, though, he experienced regular seizures from the day he left the hospital until 2016, when one finally took his life. Richie and Larry were both given life in prison without the possibility of parole. Ryan's father also sued the police department, but as is so often the case, he only received a fraction of the punishment, less than 3 years in prison. Many people believe this officer should be charged with assault and possibly even murder, and that 3 years is absolutely not enough, especially compared to cases like Reed Durrance, who's facing up to 30 years in prison after attacking a cop. Reed was arrested at an elementary school after he was seen pretending to be the father of a kindergartner. Reed was seen to be acting strangely around the kids and failed to correctly name any of the children there, so he was arrested and taken to the police station. In the interrogation, Reed freely told officers that he intended to lure one of the children out, feed them candy laced with tranquilizers, then abduct them while they were unconscious. But after what seemed like an easy interrogation, Reed suddenly decided that the detective had heard enough and made a bid for his escape.
Put your hands behind your back now. Kidding me right now?
Reed had picked up a pen and attempted to stab the officer with it, but the officer's reflexes and composure helped him to instantly take him down and restrain him. That, and the fact that the pen isn't the most effective weapon. Either way, Reed was arrested and charged with attempted kidnapping, and now a felony count of assault. He's currently awaiting trial and facing up to 30 years in prison. Reed's escape obviously didn't end very well for him. But the story is different for Quantrell Schwartzlow, who managed to escape the cops faster than anyone in history. Quantrell was brought in for strangling a girl and assaulting her, a crime he clearly didn't want to be convicted of. Unfortunately for Quantrell, his handcuffs were a dead giveaway, and he was captured 4 hours later. While it's unknown exactly what happens to Quantrell after, this clip will forever put him in the Interrogation Hall of Fame. However, Ricky Hawthorne took a much more straightforward approach to ending his interrogation, managing to confess in record time. Ricky was found covered in blood near the bodies of Lara Kuchar and Tommy Skeens. Lara had clearly been assaulted. Ricky's DNA was also found at the scene, so police had no worries when bringing him in. Surprisingly, though, Ricky would make it even easier for them.
Hey. Come on in.
Hey, yes, sir.
Yeah, I did. I did.
You know what? Let's do this.
I did it, but I think somebody came behind me and finished it.
Okay.
Yeah, I did it.
So much for staying silent. However, Ricky is alleging that he wasn't actually the murderer. He just attacked the couple and assaulted Laura. It was someone else that finished the job. Even though the evidence was stacked against him, he still would have had a better chance of getting away with it if he just stayed silent.
There's three more people. I don't know.
And you know what?
They was living when I left. But I think somebody came in behind me and finished them off. I did beat the shit out of them, but it was somebody else. I left.
Despite his claims, it was determined that the couple died of the injuries inflicted by Ricky, and he was later found guilty of the first and second degree murder, as well as the attack on Laura.